When we take time to study our family tree, we can often trace our Christian heritage back to someone who infused godly virtues into the branches. In other cases, we're the first person to sprout new life into the tree, introducing a whole new generation to the gospel of grace. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues his brand new study in Lamentations. In this message, we'll discover how the writer, Jeremiah, was heavily influenced by a godly king named Josiah. Josiah's integrity would alter the course of history. Chuck titled today's message, "The Influence of One Devoted Parent."
Our Father, we live in a time of unrest. Every occasion when we turn on the television or driving in the car and are listening to our radios, we're made aware of the unrest, the uncertainties of our times. As if the virus were not enough, we now have protests all across our land because of an event that occurred that was dreadful in every way. Thank you for your protection, for your care over all of us. Watch over us during these days, and may justice roll down. May truth have its day, and may righteousness return to a land that rarely witnesses it, even in high places. Thank you for your faithfulness as we have sung today. Thank you for your goodness, caring for us day after day. Thank you for keeping many of us healthy. We pray for those who are ill, those who have succumbed to this virus as it grows and spreads. We pray that you will bring it to an end and you will see us through this time when we are trusting you. Thank you for those who come today for worship. May they be edified and encouraged, especially those who are engaged in the process of still having an influence over children and grandchildren. May we realize the value of one devoted life. Thank you for those who have ministered and mentored us in our past, for your faithfulness in bringing people alongside who made life for us meaningful and rich, who renewed for us a whole world that opened up by your grace. Thank you, Father, for those who represent us in places beyond. Encourage them as they serve you faithfully. Use our gifts, which we shall give, for their ongoing ministry, and sustain us as a church through these trying times that we are enduring together. Keep us aware that you remain our sovereign God through it all. Now, minister to us in the quiet moments that follow before we open your word to be instructed, exhorted, and encouraged. Through Christ Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called The Influence of One Devoted Parent.
Let's look here at this righteous reign of Josiah. 31 years he walks with God, doesn't turn to the left or right, doesn't cool in his devotion to the living God. Surely it must come from his father. Actually, it didn't. His grandfather, Manasseh, if you go back to chapter 33, we read, this is the grandfather of Josiah. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, following the detestable practices of the pagan nations the Lord had driven from the land of the Israelites. That's the life of his grandfather, 55 years ruling over the land of Judah. Manasseh dies, and his son, Amon, takes his place. He reigned in Jerusalem only 2 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, just as his father, Manasseh, had done. He worshiped and sacrificed to all the idols his father had made. But unlike his father, he did not humble himself before the Lord. Amon sinned even more. He was worse than his father. So then Amon's own officials conspired against him and assassinated him in his palace. It was as if the people had said, "That's enough." So they assassinate him. Somewhere in that palace, Josiah is living as a little 8-year-old boy. And out of a scene of assassination and murder emerges this beautiful blooming rose, as if coming from a cesspool of wickedness. His name is Josiah. How could he have been so different? If he has a grandfather for 55 years known for wickedness, and I only hit the high spots, and if he has a father who is known for equal wickedness, even more than his father, Manasseh, Josiah has known only that among his immediate ancestors, a wicked father, a wicked grandfather. And yet we read, verse 2 of chapter 34, he did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight and followed David as his example. Why didn't he follow Amon? Why didn't Manasseh shape his life? My grandfather shaped my life, I must say, looking back, even more than my own father. As good as my father was, my grandfather was incredible. Had time for me, took time for me. We had something going between us that was marvelous between a grandfather and a grandson. But Josiah doesn't have that. Neither father nor grandfather. Well, maybe it cooled. Let's see. If you read on, verse 3, you're in the right chapter. During the 8th year of Josiah's reign, so he would now be 16, started when he was 8, so now at age 16, while he was still young, Josiah began to seek the God of his ancestor David. Why? When you read this, you have to wonder, especially when you have nothing in the text that has preceded it that in any way sets up a life for righteousness, for purity. How could Josiah not be caught up in all the evil? Even when he turns 16, he is seeking the God of his ancestor David. How many 16-year-olds do you know doing that? You may have one. Rare, you must admit. But most at age 16 are still living out those teenage years, and they're not too serious about anything. I certainly wasn't, and quite likely you weren't. Josiah is. Why? Now, we're not true. Look at verse 3. Then in the 12th year, he began to purify Judah. He's now 20. He's a very young adult. He began to purify Judah and Jerusalem. In fact, he takes charge. He does a very courageous thing. He destroys all the pagan shrines, the Asherah poles, the carved idols, the cast images, throws out all the prostitutes, gets rid of all the witchcraft, takes care of all the altars of Baal, demolishes them, the incense altars. You read on and on and on, Asherah poles, the carved idol, the cast images. You read all the way through the pagan priest. He burned the bones of the pagan priests on their own altars, and he purified Judah and Jerusalem. He's only 20. He has no model that he can remember living when he was alive, Manasseh or Amon, but he's doing this righteous work. He did the same thing in the towns of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, even as far as Naphtali. If you trace that geographically, you'll see how far-reaching it was. And verse 8 says, in the 18th year of his reign, he's now 26. He's still hot for God, we would say. He's still serious about his walk with the Lord. Why? As I read through this, there's a mystery surrounding this remarkable contrast that emerges. Unlike a father who lived and reigned 2 years and a grandfather 55 years. Now, before the grandfather was Hezekiah, but that's way back. Josiah would have only heard about him on occasion. He has no living example in his mind, but he accomplishes one good thing after another. So I search and I search through 2 Chronicles. I find no hint. So I go to the historical parallel passage. 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings often cover the same subject. I turn back in my Bible to 2 Kings 22. I invite you to do that. And I begin reading almost the same words regarding Josiah. Now, stay with me. We're looking for the answer to Josiah's righteous life. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother was Jedidah, the daughter of Adaiah from Bozkath. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight and followed the example of his ancestor David. He did not turn away from doing what was right. And in this case, the writer jumps to his 18th year when Josiah is 26 years old. Stop. Did you notice something? Between the announcement of Josiah's reign beginning at age 8 and then his following the example of David, his ancestor, there is an insertion, an entry found nowhere else in Scripture. His mother was Jedidah. Now, I got all excited thinking I would find a passage of Scripture that would develop the life of a Jedidah. It isn't there. So don't race home looking for it. Take it from me. This is the only reference. The only one. We literally, except for the comment regarding her being the daughter of Adaiah from Bozkath, we know nothing more. I want to build my case and hopefully convince you of the power of one devoted life. I don't believe Jedidah was caught up in the lifestyle of her husband, Ammon. I believe she detested the life of Manasseh. I believe she walked with God, and I believe she realized her only hope, being a woman and would not ever reign in the days of the Judean kings, her hope was in her son. From his birth till he is crowned, she didn't know when that would happen. It happened soon. He's only 8. All the way through, he turns 16. All the way through, he turns 20. By now, she's, of course, released him to his reign as king and all the responsibilities that go with that. Jedidah pours her life into her son. If she has hope, she has hope in this boy. All other influences in his life, as we've seen, are evil, wicked to the core. But this woman, mentioned in the text on purpose, his mother Jedidah, steps into his world, of course, and changes the whole direction of what it could have been. It's not the first mother to do that in Scripture. We pause for a break here. Moses was put in the bulrushes, remember, and pushed over across the currents of the water until the daughter of Pharaoh found him. Remember the story? Of course you do. Right there in the bulrushes. Oh, but what you may be missing is a woman named Jochebed, a name known by very few Christians. Moses' father was Amram. His mother was Jochebed. Jochebed had Moses until he was weaned. And I have the feeling she kept him just as long as she possibly could and poured her life into young Moses as he grew in those formative years. Samuel had Hannah. Samuel will one day be handed over to Eli, whose two sons are wicked. Forgive me, but it says in the text, they lay with the women at the gate of the tabernacle. They were wicked guys. And she turns her son, Samuel, over to Eli to be raised in that environment. Believe me, before she turns him over to Eli, Hannah pours her life into her son, Samuel. You can remember another named Timothy, whose mother Eunice and grandmother Lois built into his life so significantly that the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy, right there in the first chapter, mentions his mother and her mother as having an influence over Timothy's life. In fact, John Calvin writes beautiful words. I love these. Timothy was reared in his family in such a way that he could suck in godliness along with his mother's milk. I love that concept. When she nursed him, she also nursed him in righteousness. Eunice poured herself into young Timothy, and he became an apostolic delegate. You get the point. I know you do. Never underestimate the powerful influence of a devoted parent. Think of it. Could be the mother. In this case, it is. Could be the father. In some cases, it is. Yes, two are better than one, but one is better than none. And it is easy in the midst of all the pressure of a divided home where one member of the parenting is passive, uninvolved, and often completely absent. It's easy to think that's my lot, I have to live with it, and to become resentful of that rather than realize this is your moment. This is your opportunity. And if there isn't a mom or a dad, it may fall on the shoulders of the grandfather or the grandmother or both to build into this young life. Let me speak directly. I told you that scriptures address such things as COVID-19. What has happened during COVID-19? We've all been home. Have we ever? I mean, it's so much that now there are jokes about being at home. The mother who is teaching her children and does it so much and she's so weary of it, she's asking somebody for a different class. I mean, it isn't easy, but this is your opportunity. What an interesting thing that without planning it, without seeing it come, without anticipating it, here we are at home, together. Are you together? Are you making the most of it as a father or mother, grandfather or grandmother? What a marvelous opportunity to be the Jedidah in that young life. And this is a great moment to add, you may be the product of a one devoted parent. Or I would even add a one devoted minister or mentor or coach or friend, older friend who saw in you potential no one in your family saw. What a marvelous benefit was yours. And you look back on it and I know you must give thanks often, as I certainly do. Alexander White caught me off guard. He wrote in his fine work, Bible Characters of the Old Testament, this piece on Josiah. If a boy has a good mother and a good minister, he is all but independent of his father. I think I would broaden White's word minister to mentor. Not just a minister, that seems to limit it to a pastor, though that may have been the most influential individual in your life. I certainly had a few growing up, still remember their names, still remember how they opened their Bibles, still remember how they preached their sermons. I was very impressionable in those early years, and I watched with interest. My father was virtually absent. He worked all the time. It was during World War II, but my father loved his work. If he had extra time, he got an extra job. So we were sort of raised in a matriarchal family and a mother who didn't really enjoy small children and didn't expect me when I came along. Boy, that's a fun setting, isn't it? Don't feel sorry for me. Don't spend one second feeling sorry for me. I had a magnificent grandfather. I had several marvelous mentors going through high school. And the investment they made in my life, I'm still benefiting from. And even in the years later, mentors that helped change my whole direction and my whole career changed because of a faithful, devoted mentor. Listen to White as he writes, if a boy has a good mother and a good minister or mentor, he is all but independent of his father. And with Jedidah for his mother and with Jeremiah as his minister or mentor, both Manasseh, his grandfather, and Amon, his father, taken together, did not succeed in corrupting and destroying young Josiah. It's just great, isn't it? The tender heart of the young prince took all the good out of the terribly untoward circumstances and escaped all that evil.
We're right in the middle of a 3-day presentation from Chuck Swindoll, and we urge you to join us again tomorrow when this remarkable story about Josiah's mother will continue to unfold. He's talking about the influence of one devoted parent. To learn more about this ministry, be sure to visit us online at insightworld.org. This is Insight for Living, and we're featuring a brand new series from Chuck that was preached just a few weeks ago. And you'll discover that throughout this study in Lamentations, Chuck is helping us see the obvious convergence of ancient history and the cultural battles of 2020. The application in this series is fresh and time-sensitive. In light of our times, perhaps you're looking to engage in conversations that have nothing to do with the coronavirus. Maybe a touch of levity would be welcome. Chuck wrote a classic book on joy that arose from his study of Paul's letter to the Philippians. It's called Laugh Again, Experience Outrageous Joy. And you'll find all the information on how to receive a copy of Laugh Again by going to insight.org/store. And then I'd like to conclude with an encouraging word from one of our listeners who's very grateful to those who give generously to support Insight for Living. You're truly making a difference. This listener writes, "In 1987, I was an over-the-road truck driver. In that year, I became a believer in Jesus. For over 20 years, every weekday, I listened to you preach, even before I met Jesus. You helped me when I had no fellowship nor a church home. So I give thanks to God through Jesus for your ministry." Well, it's encouraging to hear how God uses this program to reach people in surprising places who rely on the generosity of others who give. To give a donation today, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. That's insight.org. Join us again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll continues to describe the influence of one devoted parent, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Influence of One Devoted Parent, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2020 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.